The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path. And birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. Some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear. The disciples approached him and said, Why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus said to them in reply, Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, You shall indeed hear but not understand. You shall indeed look but never see. Gross is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom and without understanding it, and the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word. But then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Morning, everyone. So yesterday, July 11th, is the feast of Saint Benedict the great founder of monasticism in the West, Saint Benedict. So I have a Benedictine flag out there. So Saint Benedict, he dies about the year 547. And just to put that in perspective, quickly and briefly, in 410, Rome is sacked by Alaric the Goth, first time in 750 years. They're in an absolute panic, people fleeing the city, going as far away as they can. St. Augustine is still alive. He'll die in 430. In 431, his town, Hippo Regius and Carthage, are sacked, which is the grain belt that in Egypt. North Africa feeds Rome. Then, in 450s, Attila the Hun, he sacks Rome. Tries to do it three times. Pope Leo the Great talks him out of it once. Then Benedict is born, 480s. And then eventually Benedict hits the hills. He leaves. And he goes to pray. And he goes to work. And that becomes their motto, Ora et Labora. His prayer purifies the air, because all is lost. There's a lot of reasons why all is lost. All great societies rot from the inside and cannot withstand the attacks. That's another class. But Benedict goes to become one of the greatest pillars of Western civilization. And that's who we celebrate yesterday. Because of Western monasticism with Benedict, then eventually we have the light of learning, and we have the universities, we have Western civilization. Today is Matthew 13. And just to remind ourselves, in the Gospel of Matthew 5 through 7, you have the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes. And from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, all the way to Matthew 12, Jesus is delivering it up direct, very straightforward teaching. In Matthew 12, 14, we can see the change. Because the Pharisees listened to him and they said, no. And they started conspiring against him. Here we are in Matthew 13. Then Jesus gives us the parables. And so the parables are different. And even the disciples are like, why do you speak to them in parables? And his disciples have already received and receiving the truth. They're the ones who have already said yes. And he speaks openly about the kingdom of God with them. But to others he proclaims in parables. And so why is that? Jesus wants to encourage their decision and their conversion of heart. And so by their very nature, parables demand the effort of interpretation. They not only challenge the mind, but they also challenge freedom. And Jesus wants to draw the people to himself and to animate them that if they would convert, he would heal them. Which is why Jesus speaks of the prophecy, if they listen, if they see, and then if they convert, then I can heal them, but they do not want that. And so Jesus gives the parables for those who desire the truth. If you're open to the truth, if you're desiring and the yearning of your heart, then the parable will speak to you. Like, I know it means something. What is it? I want that. Also, I want you to think of Jesus himself as a parable. In the sign of humanity, the person of Jesus hides and then reveals his divinity as he is a human being, a man. People often say in the gospel accounts, in the different, all four gospels, you'll hear this language sometimes, is he the one? Could he be the one? John chapter 1, Andrew is listening to Jesus because he's also was a disciple of John the Baptist. And Andrew runs back to his brother Simon and says, we think we found the Messiah. Could he be the one? We have found him. And so the thing is he the one? He's speaking to us, this human being. And then Jesus draws those disciples into a deeper understanding of who he is as truly being the Son of God. That is what he is doing. So the Word is Jesus, and he wants to sow himself into our hearts. The Word is not a book, but rather the divine second person of the Trinity. The Word of God is God the Son. The Father speaks through his divine Word, who is his Son. And so we hear in the prologue of St. John, the opening words of that gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. God does not force us to believe in him, but he attracts us to him with the truth and goodness of his incarnate Son, who is the Word. And God has implanted within us a desire to be free. So we can misuse our freedom and become the beaten path in the parable where the seed just kind of gets blown around and birds pick it up. Or we can be the rocky ground. It's like, yeah, finally I've got this. But then we don't nurture that and it just goes away. Or we can allow the weeds to choke us. And it would seem that those people who regularly attend Mass are the ones who have the weeds that are always kind of growing up at the same time. And weeds can be scary. Weeds that get like 2 to 3 feet high, and there's spines and prickly stuff all over it, and you can't grab it with your bare hand, and it scares you. And it's like, it's an enormous weed. It's like, what am I going to do? I mean, you could burn the prairie like my friends in the Flint Hills, but neighbors don't like that in Hutchison. So if you're good, you can go down, right down near the soil, right near the dirt there, and you can grab that weed, you can pull it out, and you're like, well, that really came out easy. And the roots weren't really there, but it was very scary on the top part. And then there are other weeds, like dandelions. And you pull the weed out, and you're like, I got it. And then it broke, the root broke, and you're like, so you've covered up with mulch, and you pray. You try not to cuss. And then it comes back. And then you're going to have to rent a backhoe. And it's just the way it is. It's a different kind of a weed that gets in the way. And all of this effort that we have, this virtue, needs grace. Because we're yearning to get free of the weeds. All creation is groaning in labor pains. We ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we await for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, as St. Paul tells us in Romans 8 today, to let go of the dead end world. St. Benedict went to the hills and purified the air with his prayer, which guided his work. And then he becomes this great pillar, and he bears not just 30 or 60, but he bears 100-fold. And the sufferings of this present world are nothing compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us, not just in when we like rest in peace, and not just that, but right now. The glory to be revealed right now in the good we do right now, rooted in God's grace, is our response to that grace. Because creation waits with eager longing as it sits in the obscurity in the clouds that all around us. It waits for those things to lift. And the weeds of anxiety and fear choke us. And the modern day comforts will not save us. And those who desire the truth and seek God are open to the meaning of the parables, to the very person of Christ Jesus.